Armchair Adventures. Why is it that I so seldom want to read what everyone else wants to read? A season's blockbuster will come out, whether Hilary Mantel's Wolf Hall or Stephen King's 11/22/63, and the world will rush off to the bookstores. More often than not, I dawdle instead, take my own sweet time, probably even stop for a coffee on the way. Maybe I'll acquire the new book, maybe I won't. This isn't to say that the annual prize winners and bestsellers aren't worth Mr. Big Shot Reader's time, or that I think I'm somehow superior to them. On the contrary, I fear that my decreasing interest in the contemporary indicates the onset of old age, or even old fogyism. Soon I'll start harumphing when I open the morning paper. Only partly to my dismay, I find that nowadays I gravitate increasingly to older books, and particularly to tales of romance and derring-do from the late 19th and early 20th centuries, the period that the critic Roger Lanslyn Green dubbed the Age of the Storytellers. Last year, for instance, I taught a course at the University of Maryland entitled The Classic Adventure Novel, 1885 to 1915, covering 10 books. Given those dates, you can probably guess half the titles on the reading list. H. Rider Haggard, King Solomon's Mines. Robert Louis Stevenson, Kidnapped. H. G. Wells, The Time Machine. Baroness Ortsey, The Scarlet Pimpernel. E. Nesbitt, The Story of the Amulet. G. K. Chesterton, The Man Who Was Thursday. Rudyard Kipling, Kim. A. Conan Doyle, The Lost World. Edgar Rice Burroughs, Tarzan of the Apes, and John Buchan, The 39 Steps. If one were to characterize all these disparate works, one might settle for the phrase, comfort books. Other descriptive cliches come to mind, ripping yarns, action-packed swashbucklers, escapist fantasies, boys' books, all accurate designations. But I will make the case that such stories are as important to our imaginations